is the Practice Squad. Your host, David Schmidt. Producer, Jordan Stogler.
Hi, David.
Craig Garman.
How's it going, David?
And Troy Metzger.
Hello, hello.
How you guys been? It's been a while.
Been a while.
Doing pretty good.
Been a bit.
It's pretty
been
good.
I'm alive. I'm not on fire.
A lot has, yeah, that's good. A lot has happened since our last show. I'm not used to these, like, big gaps in between our shows.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know how the listeners are coping with it either.
I'm getting a lot of complaints.
Yeah. A lot of complaints on Twitter.
Our DMs are full.
Yeah. A lot of complaints about how we need to be on the air more often. So, yeah. Since we talked last time, the NFL draft happened.
It was before the draft.
Yeah, so all of our teams look different.
We were, what, two episodes in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Yep. Last time.
So the Battle of Winterfell not happened yet. So a lot's happened in both so sports much. And HBO Sunday Night Entertainment. But we're going to get talking all of that. We'll go over our teams, how they improved through the draft. And we'll go over whether Game of Thrones is a good show or not.
That's a hot take.
But yeah, we'll figure that out. But we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Casual Thursday, and on Friday you can choose from our soup and salad bar or our famous half-pound hand-patted cheeseburger. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented with our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
My plan was to stay for 5 years. I would get my experience, then I would move on and do bigger and better things.
At Cooper Farms, we're growing, and we want you to grow with us.
5 years came and went, and I really had no reason to leave. I've been here 30 years. I'm the accounting manager, and I don't have a big accounting background. It's just they've seen me grow over the years.
To see our open hourly and management positions, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Graduation is coming up soon. Your Fort Recovery seniors will be graduating on May 19th. The ceremony will take place at the Fort Recovery High School gym and will begin at 2 o'clock p.m. There will also be graduation masses held that same morning at St. Peter at 10 o'clock a.m. and 4:30 the night before at Mary Helper Christians. Please come send off the seniors and wish them luck as they start a new chapter of their new lives.
Are you looking for a stress-free, mess-free meal? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and just drive through and pick it up. Great pizza, wings, subs, and sandwiches. And don't forget about their pizza and wing buffet with salad bar on Fridays at lunch. Call them to reserve lanes for your birthday party and ask about their special bowling packages. Be sure to call them for some of their great wings for your graduation party or other get-together. Miracle Lanes, open Tuesday through Sunday. Your first choice for food and fun. 375-4274.
Back is the Practice Squad. Give us a call, 419-516-0702 if you want to talk the draft. Any picks that you like, picks that you didn't like, or if you want to just talk about Game of Thrones, because we're going to talk about that quite extensively tonight, as is the internet. The entire internet is talking about Game of Thrones.
Well, that or a Kawhi shot.
Oh, yeah.
And his lack of emotion for everything.
Yeah. Almost wanted to buy some New Balances today after that.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. That would have been nice, though. A fresh pair of New Balances from Kawhi.
Got some clean New Balance.
Does he...
Velcro. So like,
this might be over your head, but on his New Balance shoes, does he have New Balance shoes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the New Balance logo on it, or does Kawhi have a logo?
That I would have to look up. Like, honestly, because when I found out that he signed with New Balance, it never even occurred to me to see what they looked like. Honestly, I'll look it up while we're talking.
Please do, because I want to know
if
it's
like... I don't think they look terrible.
A giant NB on the side, like they look like dad shoes?
No, they can't look like dad shoes. I mean...
That'd be funny if they did.
It would be funny. I don't think he has a logo, though.
Okay, wait, but we have to talk about this a little bit since we're talking about it.
Okay.
Are you guys at the age yet where you kind of look at New Balance and you're like, those are pretty good shoes? Because I am.
No, not yet. Okay. I'm still...
I like walk in the store and I'm like, it's automatic. It's like a pull.
That's not
I'm
bad.
Pulled to like New Balance shoes.
Really?
Not even New Balance. Just like shoes where you're like, okay, that's my dad's shoes. That,
yeah. Because you know, I've seen your dad rocking some like New Balances.
I think that's hardcore. Like the shoe of a dad.
Because my dad also did. My dad had some K-Swiss and some K-Swiss.
I wear my
Kids like genetic Keds and stuff, like just very dad shoes. Yeah. But I'm not there yet. I still only buy like Nikes, like white Nikes.
Like I think
I did get made fun of by my family for buying white Nikes, and they were like, "Oh, those are dad shoes." And I was like, "Oh, they were Nikes." Like
I think I would wear
Nikes be dad shoes.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My dad's had some white.
Like with the blue, like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. My dad's some, like, mesh.
Some Nikes.
Yeah. They can absolutely be dad shoes. Yeah. I know exactly. And they have to have a couple grass stains on them.
Yep. I think I think I would wear these.
They got to be laying in front of the chair, the rocker.
Yep. Like, they just got the N on the side.
Are you back to Kawhi shoes?
Yeah. And then they got, like, the red thing across the middle that says New Balance. It doesn't just have the NB logo.
That's actually a pretty attractive shoe. I would ball it up in those. I would shoot threes and not play defense in those.
Well, you can't do that if you're wearing Kawhi's shoes. If you wear New Balance basketball shoes, defense. You are hustling 24/7.
You have to dive on the court.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we got off tangent right away.
That's right.
So it's been a couple weeks. The draft was a big ordeal. It was in Nashville this year. And it looked like a zoo. It looked like
a madhouse.
Like I didn't want to be there.
Yeah. Because we all went to Nashville for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Which was, I would say, half of what it was day one, if that.
It looked...
They said there were 600,000 people that went through Nashville that weekend.
Yikes.
Oh my God.
Which...
I mean, the closest I thought I was going to die was not getting a taxi and it was raining outside.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was just cold.
I'm like, I'm just going to die.
Which begs the question, like, you can always forever say that you were there, but don't tell me it wouldn't be completely inconvenient when you were there. Right?
Super. Well, I can say I was there, but you guys remember, like, I got separated from you guys, and I had to go to the bathroom.
You didn't get separated. We tried to lose you.
Well, that's fair. But I had to go to the bathroom, so I had a wristband on, so I had to find that bar. So it was the only bathroom I could get into, because there's so many people.
Yeah.
So
did you have to pay to get into?
No, because I had the wristband on still.
Okay.
So I went in there, and literally, I'm in the bathroom, and I hear the 3, 2, 1, you know, and I'm
happy
like,
New Year. Happy New Year in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I found on just a general weekend in Nashville anymore, it's inconvenient already. Like, you're fighting through crowds to get a beer. Like, you're fighting through people dance. Like, it's already tough.
It wasn't too bad. We were down there last
when
year.
We went for the game.
True. But we were, like, north of the city the whole time. Like, we only really went to Broadway, like, the one night.
Friday night, yeah.
But still, it wasn't.
But yeah.
I mean, it was packed. But
and, there was a, and there was a Predators game.
But I guess I can't imagine it times 100 like that.
Yeah. No, when I saw the picture, I just, like, I could feel myself sweating. I was like, I just imagining this all over again.
So, the Bengals, well, the Browns didn't have a first-round pick, so you didn't have anything to do on Thursday.
I have the Bengals draft results in front of me. If you want me to list your guys' picks, and you can analyze as I
got them.
Afterwards, you got them?
Well, I mean, you can list them if you want. I just had them.
Yeah. Let's just start with their first-round pick.
So, round one, pick 11, Jonah Williams.
Yeah. Garmin immediately booed and got angry.
I did at the time, but I also...
Because we watched it at the Fort Recovery Bowling Alley because we were not in Nashville and didn't want to play.
It's a place to be.
Yeah. It was a place to be.
It was hot.
All the tornadoes going on at the time.
Which, Neil, we have to do a live broadcast next draft from a bar. Is that possible? Okay, we're going to do that.
If there was, like, it would have been perfect that time.
Yeah.
Nobody there.
Yeah.
The biggest problem was with their Wi-Fi and everybody pinging off the same.
Okay,
I gotcha.
The pings. Yeah, pinging.
Typical.
Yeah. So, I want to defend my reaction initially because I need to do this because we'd had a few drinks. Calpe was buying some drinks. So, all I heard was that we drafted a tackle out of Alabama. And from what I'd heard previously, there's a kid, I don't know if it's Alabama State, but he's the kid who I thought we drafted initially and I wasn't happy about because he's the one, I don't know if you've heard, I can't remember the kid's name.
But Tyus Howard?
Yes.
Texas drafted him.
He's the one that could go either or of, like, this dude's either going to be incredible or he's going to totally be a bust. Like, he was a quarterback in high school. No one knew what he was. He's had all the size and intangibles. That's who I thought when I heard Alabama. But no, at this, I think this is a super solid pick.
Yeah.
And there's no way. Like, he's already pretty much competing for that left tackle spot right now.
Yeah, I thought it was a home run pick. I don't know if, I don't know anything, but.
What?
Like, I didn't really know anything
about tackles.
Juwan Taylor. I mean, if there's anything I know, it's hand technique and footwork at the left tackle position. Yeah. But, like, I just thought it was a good pick considering that I didn't think he'd be there.
Right.
Well, it was a must needed pick for you guys.
Yeah, so if it's a need and they got the first lineman in the draft, so they had the pick of who they wanted. He was obviously at the top of their board. Thank you to Oakland for picking Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah.
And thank you for the Giants picking
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. So that basically slid two spots. So when we were on the clock, we were three off, and there was still who's the big tackle that I wanted? I can't think of his name right now.
Juwan Taylor.
No, but defensive tackle.
Oh, Ed Oliver.
Ed Oliver was still on the board. Devin Bush was still on the board. And Jonah Williams was on the board.
Right.
And
Haskins was still on the board. Who's turning heads?
Oh, is he already?
Yes. He's dropping dimes.
Turning heads.
Wow.
Yes.
So he's going to be amazing.
He is fighting for a starting job, maybe. Oh,
against who?
Case Keenum.
Alex Smith with no leg.
Yeah, basically. Case Keenum and Cole McCoy.
Is Alex Smith like the new brand?
What do you mean? Like boring?
Just in a wheelchair?
Wow.
That joke went way too far over our heads. That was funnier than what we gave it.
Okay.
Jonah Williams is a good pick because I was like, as long as we get one of Ed Oliver, Dwayne Haskins, Devin Bush, or Jonah Williams, it's a good pick.
Is your second round pick, that's a home run.
Our second round pick,
I'm going to argue.
We'll talk differently about that. Are we going to go there now?
We can.
We can go over the whole bank. All right, go for it.
Drew Sample?
Yeah. I believe I was texting with you, and
This is after trade down.
Yeah, so I was upset we traded down because we picked up like another 6-round pick, which we had 5 of them already, and I don't know. There was they obviously had him mocked really high. A lot of the draft experts said he'd be there in the 5th round, and we got him in the 2nd. He caught like 22 passes last
25.
Year. He had the best blocking grade on Pro Football Focus by far for tight ends. So I guess maybe in Zach Taylor's offense, they need a blocking type tight end. I have no idea.
But he's going to be the starter over, who's the guy you re-signed over the
Uzama?
No.
Eifert?
The tackle
Bobby Hart.
Bobby Hart. He's going to take over his spot.
You're going to play right tackle. Yep. He'd probably be better. But yeah, it just seems like a reach to pick someone who...
It seems like a reach because the TV tells you it's a reach.
Yeah, you're right. They know more than I do.
No one knew who he was.
People knew who he was. I think the thing is that, and this is what you always hear, is that the NFL guys, in-house, almost their rankings are almost never the same as what the media is. So if the media tells you it's a reach, you think it's a reach. If the media tells you got a steal, you think it's a steal. Whether was on the war room board had him there the entire time. All I know is that Zach Taylor said that he watched film of Drew Sample and he's hands down the best blocking tight end in the entire draft. And so you get a guy who's our worst thing last year was our offensive line. So you get a guy who's 6'5", 250 pounds, and Zach Taylor says he carries it like he's 230, so he's put together, pretty well built.
Mm-hmm.
And he really wants to emphasize the run. He keeps saying the run is married to the pass. He wants to run, set up the pass. So draft the best run blocking tight end. And he was saying, he was watching the film, that his entire career he was at Washington, they never used him as a passing tight end until his senior year. And so as a former quarterback, and former quarterbacks on the staff was watching his film saying, how are they not getting this guy the ball? He's open, but they're never getting him the ball. So I'm going to trust.
Who was their quarterback this year? Wasn't he supposed to be good and he wasn't good? Washington's quarterback. Look that up.
I forget.
He was supposed to be good. He played Bam in the bowl game 2 years ago. And
But either way, I'm going to trust Zach Taylor. If he thinks this guy was worth a pick,
he knows what he...
I'm fine with basically. Think about it. You got a guy who, as of right now, who's going to come out, whether he works on his passing game...
Jake Browning?
Yes.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Well, he'll work on his passing game, but as of right now, we essentially have another offensive lineman.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I hated it at the beginning because I just didn't want to trade back. I felt
that's the problem.
We could have got another good corner.
Well, the problem is his career now is going to be compared to Drew Lock.
Yeah,
because that was the pick that was traded.
And wasn't what's the corner you guys got?
Greedy Williams.
I think he was still there. I think Justin Lane is that guy. Mm-hmm. He was still there. So I just felt like they
could. Is that the biggest need though?
No. Is tight end though?
Kind of.
I guess it's more of a...
It kind of really is.
Because Eifert's going to break his leg and then...
Well, you got Eifert, who's the biggest injury risk in the planet at a one-year deal. CJ Uzama, who's fine on a three-year deal. Yeah. And then a bunch of, like... Nobody. Mason Schreck, seventh rounder from like 2 years ago.
That one guy that caught that one pass against the Saints?
Yes. I mean, literally, it's basically
Jordan Franks.
Like, he's going to play. Like, yeah. I think he's going to play.
I hope so. Who's the third pick? Jermaine Pratt?
Jermaine Pratt.
Linebacker. Thought that was a good pick. He used to be a safety.
Yep.
He made a bunch of tackles. He was good for NC State. He looks like he's big and has a ton of muscles.
Well, and the thing is, like, the key, like, former safety, like, what is the worst part about our linebacking core is they can't cover anything.
Yeah. I don't know how his coverage was in college, if it was good or bad.
It's pretty good. All I know, I listened to, the one thing I thought was kind of interesting is I was listening to Zach Taylor talk about all these picks, and I kind of like, and I who knows, like, if it means anything in the long run, but he said a lot of the guys we drafted are former captains.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that is an initial change as far as, like, his issue with character, which has not been the focus for Bengals in the past.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of, it's not something that makes a huge difference, but you kind of know the dude's personality a little bit before he comes in.
Who's fourth?
Wait, just on that. So, like, Ray Farmer, our GM before Sashi, drafted a whole bunch of captains, and I kind of said the same thing. And then we started drafting thugs like Antonio Callaway, and I think it's helped to do that as well. So just because they're captains.
Both?
Yeah.
I think you can balance your locker room.
You can.
I think this was a draft.
I was like, hey, we got a lot of captains, and they all, like, suck.
Yeah. So. But they're just good, like, locker room guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't care how good of locker room is. I just kind of want to
need talent.
Games. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think this was a good first year draft for a new coach. It was like centerpiece, like lineman.
And crazy emphasis on offensive line. Like, if I'm Joe Mixon, I'm giving Zach Taylor, like, I'm buying him a new car.
Yeah.
Because that dude, fantasy next year, is going to be bonkers.
Yeah. It's going to be Todd Gurley.
All right, I'm going to run through all of your other picks, and you can sum them all up. Jermaine Pratt was the third round. Fourth round, you had Ryan Finley.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you talk about him if you want. He's a quarterback.
We joke about this all
That's
the time.
That's a good pick.
We joke about this all the time, but I actually watched every single pass attempt he threw. We always joke about watching film. I actually watched all of his film. I literally, every pass attempt, every rush attempt.
Does he look exciting or no?
No, he doesn't. I mean, no.
The Bengals traded up to get him.
Sweet.
Well, no, but what? Okay, so let me.
He's just a prototype.
Andy Dalton 2.0.
Like
his Jared Goff
passing type quarterback. But.
His measurable, like his comparisons were, I think, Dalton and Goff. But so here's the thing. He's a really good athlete. He doesn't, like, he legit doesn't have, like, a crazy deep arm, but his accuracy, I'm telling you, it is insane.
There was a handful of, like, or people reporting about him, and there's a couple of them said he's the most, they said they think he's the most NFL-ready, like, quarterback.
McShay thought he was one of the steals of the draft.
Really?
I mean, he might not ever do anything. I'm just saying
he might be a good backup.
From all the stuff I watched, and granted, like, I'm not a professional scout, I was kind of impressed because I thought it was a super boring pick.
Yeah, I did too. For trading up, I was like, who are they going to get?
He's not flashy, but so here's the thing, too, is, like, we have a lot of former quarterbacks in our coaching staff, and especially, like, Zach Taylor being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can invite, like, what, 30-some kids in to interview or whatever off-season?
Yeah.
They brought in Ryan Finley, and Zach Taylor started talking to him, and he was like, okay, like, I like this kid. He's smart. We're going to keep talking. So he literally asked Ryan Finley to go sit in another room, and they did a couple more interviews and then brought him back and ended up talking to him for, like, 2.5 hours. So they must really like it. He's really, like, I guess, real smart or whatever. You know, he's safe. I think that's the biggest thing with him.
Yeah.
He's not a risk.
Like high ceiling or like high floor, low ceiling. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I almost screwed that up really bad. Who's our next couple of picks?
Rennell Wren.
Yeah, we'll just go through these quick.
Okay. I think that might be our best pick.
Yeah.
Value wise.
He's got a lot of, like, explosive nose tackle power. He's raw. See what happens.
Michael Jordan, shooting guard, Carolina.
Yeah. Greatest shooting guard of all time.
Center from.
Then Trayvon Williams, running back.
Leading rusher in the SEC. Could be really good.
Deshaun Davis. Deshaun Davis?
Kind of a boring, slow
Auburn
tackler from Auburn. Probably a special teamer. At most, he plays on running downs and makes a solid tackle.
Rodney Anderson. Running back.
Like, low-risk, high-reward pick.
Joe Mixon's buddy.
Yep. Was a really good running back, but towards ACL for Oklahoma.
Yep.
Probably would have been second or third rounder if he was healthy. So, see what happens.
And
could be exciting if he's healthy.
Jordan Brown.
Raw corner from, like, what, North Dakota State?
South Dakota State.
Good ball skills. Can't tackle. One of the worst tacklers in the entire draft I saw. He's scared to tackle, but he can go get the ball. So, see what happens.
And you can counter that with one. We don't know. He might not even make the team, but you got Denard. You can counter that with as one of the best tackling corners.
Yeah, he's probably practice squad or special teamer if he makes the team.
The one of those that I actually think I like the most is the Michael Jordan pick.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that the injuries we've had to deal with, and that he can legit play all the way across the line.
Yeah.
And that's a
solidify your
offensive line. He can't play tackle.
I know, but I mean,
he played
guard or center. Worst case scenario, but either way, he can play either guard, he can play center. That's super versatile to have. And I've heard the rumor that Clint Bowling might not make the team this year.
Yeah.
So I just like.
I heard that too, and I don't understand it. Was he that bad last year?
No, it's not that he's that bad. He's been around for a really long time, and they can.
Oh, wait, he's better than anything we got.
Well, no, that's the thing, but they can cut cap space if they get rid of him.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the only thing.
Cap space you'll use for sure.
So, Garmin, who was our best pick? I'm going to do our best picks, and then we'll give everyone a grade. Everyone has to.
I mean, obviously, I think it's the Jonah Williams, but I low key think that the Ryan Finley pick could be sneaky, depending if anything happens to Dalton.
Wait, low key and sneaky?
That's
like a double negative.
So your best pick is
Brandon? Like, it's a low, like, what? That's not double negative. It's low key, and it's sneaky. It could be a sneaky good pick.
My best pick's Jonah Williams, because I think he's going to be our left tackle for the next, like, 10 years.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
And here's the real quick before we move on. I don't really get why it's a competition between him and Cordy Glenn. Why is, like, Bobby Hart got his job locked up over there? Why not put Cordy Glenn?
Cordy Glenn will be right tackle. Jonah will be left, probably. Because they already had him at left tackle working in rookie stuff.
Good. Did you see the highlight tape, though, of Jonah versus that Clelin Ferrell?
No, did he get killed?
Woo!
Oh, man.
Don't watch it if you want to feel good.
Who was your least favorite pick? Darn.
Oh, man, I'd have to look at it. Probably the
Sample.
Yeah, mine's Sample.
No, you guys, that's such low
Sample
hanging,
in the second round.
That's such low hanging fruit.
That's such
you
a
guys,
layup.
You're just buying into what the corporate media is telling you.
All right, Garmin, give it a grade.
Well, see, Garmin, you read too much into it, so everything you read, you're like, yeah, that's a good.
No,
yeah,
I think it is. I give the Bengals six check marks.
Six check marks out of
11 check marks.
Six out of 11 check marks. Jordan, what do you give them?
I give them a B-.
B-. I'll give them 4.5 stars.
Okay.
Why are we doing three?
Billy, what do you give?
I mean, what else is there to do? I'll give him one thumbs up.
You got it.
That's right.
He gets the
one
show.
Thumbs up. He gets the show.
Siskel and Ebert.
That's out of two, right?
Yeah, out of two.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back to talk about the Titans and the Browns draft, because they also drafted. We'll be right back.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hello, this is Sean McCoy, the owner at Greek's Pizzeria in Portland, Indiana. What's your favorite pizza at Greek's? Greek special, gourmet meat, chicken club, or just a good old pepperoni pizza? All featuring dough and sauce made fresh daily, along with vegetables freshly sliced. Stop over and visit us and get one of your favorites. Or try one of our pastas, salads, pizzas, appetizers, our famous breadsticks, or even our wings. And those will go nicely with our selection of draft beers, bottled beers, wine, and our mixed drinks. If you don't have a favorite yet, stop by and try our buffet. We run it for lunch every Sunday through Friday, 11 to 1, and every Tuesday and Wednesday night, 5 to 8. We're family friendly, so bring the whole gang. And don't forget, on Tuesdays, seniors are $1 off our buffet, and on Wednesdays, kids 10 and under eat free for the buffet. For some of the best pizza anywhere, head over to Greek's in Portland. We're on the north end of Meridian Street.
Congratulations to the Fort Recovery High School boys track and field team who won their first ever MAC championship on Friday, May 10th. Here are some of the results of the track events. In the 110-meter hurdles, the Indians placed first and second, with Robbie Lefevre placing first with a time of 15.75 seconds, and Riley Pearson finishing a close second with a time of 16.55 seconds. Robbie also won the 300-meter hurdles with a time of 41.37 seconds. In the 100-meter dash, Robbie Lefevre finished first in 11.56 seconds, and he also won the 200-meter at 23.24 seconds. An Indians distance runner, Drew Mullenkamp, won the 800-meter run with a time of 2 minutes and 2.72 seconds. Drew Mullenkamp also anchored our winning 4x400-meter relay team, made up of Owen Mormon, Jared Timmerman, Jacob Atchison, and Drew Mullenkamp, with a winning time of 3 minutes, 30.09 seconds. The Indians won all three of the relay events, winning the 4x400, 4x200, and 4x100-meter relay races. In the 4x200-meter relay, their time was 1 minute 33.04 seconds. That team is made up of Riley Pearson, Braden Shane, Owen Mormon, and Jacob Atchison. In the 4x100-meter relay, their time was 45.13 seconds, and that team is Riley Pearson, Braden Shane, Jared Timmerman, and Jacob Atchison. And Jared Timmerman moved over to the field events and placed second in the long jump with his jump of 19 feet 11 inches. Congratulations to the Indians boys for their 2019 MAC Track and Field Championship. They are seniors Robbie Lefevre and Braden Butch Shane, juniors Riley Pearson, Drew Mullenkamp, Jacob Atchison, John Kanapke, and Jared Timmerman, sophomores Luke Keller and Owen Mormon, and freshmen Henry Kanapke, Isaac Kanapke, Derek Schlarman, and Riley Heiser. Also, congratulations on a good season to our girls' track and field team, who finished sixth in the MAC meet. Whitley Rammel finished second in the shot put with a throw of 34 feet, 11.75 inches. Here are the members of the girls' track and field team. Seniors, Chloe Will, Cassidy Martin, Audrey Guggenbiller, and Elise Gale. Sophomores, Elena Evers, Hannah Metzger, Maria Hardings, Anna Wendell, Ashlyn Bechtel, Kiera Wendell, and Ava Bupp, and freshmen Emma Fortkamp, Whitley Rammel, McKenna Ellenberger, and Olivia Hawk. Again, congratulations on a great season for our track and field teams, and to our Indians boys, who won their first ever MAC Track and Field Championship on Friday, May 10th.
Forge Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forge, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forge Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forge Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
And we're back. It's the practice squad. 419-516-0702. Call us with your draft takes, Game of Thrones takes. Let us know what's on your mind. We'll give us your best advice that we can get.
Can you say that number? I feel like they're not hearing the number.
Yeah, 419-516-0702.
Okay, maybe they'll call in.
Who's they?
I was probably slurring and they probably didn't know.
Okay, yeah, the listeners. I feel like they're calling the wrong number.
I think probably.
Say it right, they will call.
My mom and dad are getting calls like crazy.
Yeah. Should we just give out their number? They'd be so confused. When
that would, like, some night we should do that, like, just give them.
Yeah, Chetty, my favorite pick is Drew Sample. Like, what? Who are you? Oh, who wants to go first, Titans or Brownies?
Brownies can go.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of analysis, honestly.
Jordan's dying over there to talk about their draft.
No first-round pick. We didn't trade in, which I'm glad.
Your first-round pick was Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham. So if we factor
solid
that in,
first-rounder.
I think it's a pretty good
bust.
Pretty good grade.
Yeah, I had him in my third-round grade on him, so. You reached
Odell?
Yeah.
Kinda.
His drama and his blonde hair.
Just so much drama. Which it's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a lot of drama. It's just a lot of, like,
baggage.
Yeah.
If he's catch a touchdown, you'd be
I
fine.
Don't care.
He went to the Met Gala, so that's even more.
Which is weird to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay, so our first or second round pick, our first pick was Greedy Williams, which I liked. You know, up like a month ago, he was a top 15 pick. It seemed like the first quarter.
He's already calling Super Bowl for the Brownies.
So, and I don't, that's nothing.
He's had to backpedal on that, and that's going to be a problem. Not to go into your draft stuff, but he's got to shut up.
I mean, right after he drafted, somebody called him and was like, hey, what do you know about the Browns? He's like, oh, no, just. We're going to Super Bowl.
No, we're going to be the new Patriots. Baker Mayfield's a Hall of Famer.
No, that was
Odell.
Oh, yeah.
Patriots. That's what I meant.
I'm sorry.
Oh. What? Oh. Sound, sorry. but I liked that. I thought it was a good value. I think he'll be a nice little compliment to Denzel Ward on the other side. Good.
Greedy Williams. So, like, was he good? I mean, I he was like a player that I kind of wanted just because he had a cool name and he was on the top of Mel Big Board.
Yeah.
He's a shut down corner. The biggest problem people had with him, he said they can't tackle. Okay. He's not a tackle, so. But
if they don't get the ball,
LSU, if they can't catch LSU. The ball, he's doing his job, and that's it.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, you watch interviews. Every interview, he seems like there's enough there.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of listen to him to see if they have it, kind of.
Yeah, like, if they do an interview, like,
you can usually
Kyler
tell.
Murray, you're like, nah.
Yeah, I'll pass. But
bad
he seems all right.
Yeah.
And then our third round pick was Sione Takitaki.
A lot of people were high on him. I don't know anything about him, but
I know.
People were like, oh, that you got Takitaki?
Yeah. Linebacker, BYU. He was almost kicked out of football for the first year. I think he was a defensive end the first, like, 2 years, and he transitioned into the linebacker last year. And a lot of people were high on him. I think he was somewhat, some teams, like, wanted to be, like, a hidden gem, kind of. Like, they thought that they would be there in the fourth round, but so we picked him up in the third. Could be a starting, probably weak side linebacker. And then we got Sheldrick Redwine in the fourth round. Safety in Miami. Yeah, he seems like he has some swagger.
Yeah,
Mac
he has like dreads, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has that dreads. Helps. Yeah,
safeties with dreads are good.
Yeah,
I think it's really the most important.
That's a pretty good theory.
Safeties with dreads.
I think the.
Can we make this theory a fact?
I don't know.
Name me two safeties with dreads that have been really good.
Brandon Merriweather,
David.
Sure, and I don't know. Did Sean Taylor have dreads at one point?
No, Michael Griffin.
There you go. Two.
Well, if it's such a...
Reggie...
Bob Sanders.
Bob Sanders.
Reggie Pro Bowl, Reggie Nelson.
Reggie Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other ones with dreads.
Ones, yeah.
Did Jamal Adams ever have dreads?
Just kind of like...
Braids.
I think he has like Odell Beckham hair.
In his lifetime, I bet one time he did.
Maybe.
So...
Yeah, Ed Reed never had dreads.
Which I think is the worst thing about Odell Beckham.
It's fine.
But anyway.
It's all right. It felt peculiar to me, and I was like, I couldn't think of one.
Can you think of a bad one?
With dreads?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brandon Merriweather. One of the ones we named.
All I know is he was a first-round pick, so.
Yeah. Who was DJ Schweringer?
Yeah.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah. Had braids.
Anyway.
If I was a talent scout, I would definitely factor in hair, but go ahead.
Yep. Troy Palmolo.
Not dreads.
He
could have. It doesn't matter if he could have. There's a lot of guys who could have.
He just had a mop on his head. That was it.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Our fifth round pick, Mac Wilson, which I thought was a good pick. I think I would have liked him in the third round, let alone the fifth round. And then we got a kicker. It wasn't that funny.
But Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah. He's a receiver, not a safety.
Yeah, I'm funny.
That's true.
It was not as funny as your joke earlier. That should have been more funny.
No, and I really like the Mac Wilson pick because that's what I kind of wanted.
All about pacing and delivery.
I wanted the Bengals to do that. Like, I really wanted him.
So that sucks that he plays for you guys. Yeah.
Austin Seibert, kicker, Oklahoma.
That's huge. I mean, that is like probably the steal of the draft.
He's a kicker punter combo, dude. So.
I mean, that's you can't buy that.
You guys got that punter off of free agency. What does he call him?
The Irish Hammer.
Yeah, the Irish Hammer.
Yeah,
that's a sweet nickname.
It is.
He'll do well in Cleveland.
Yeah,
he'll love him in Cleveland. Yeah.
Chugging bottles of whiskey.
Just a pint of Guinness, just downing it.
Drew Forbes. Well, and I just read the quote, but the Irish Hammer was interviewed and talking about like kind of how he flew under the radar and what he did for college. And so I think he just like came to the States and started kicking. And
he got a scholarship off of YouTube.
Yeah, some school found his YouTube video and they called him. It was some small, like, you know, some Methodist school. And they're like, hey, you know, we want to offer you a scholarship. And he's like, okay, just send the paperwork. And they're like, so that's it. He's like, yeah, just send it and I'll sign it. So like the first school that offered him, he just said, yeah, I'll sign it to you guys. And so that's how he kind of like,
I mean, you don't have to go to big school. I mean, if you're hitting 70 yard bombs or 80 yard bombs, I mean,
do you guys want a list from 2009 with the best NFL players with dreads?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Do you want to do it now or you want to do it later?
Let's do it later.
Okay.
Let Jordan finish.
Yep. Sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, there's a lot of two picks we need super to get rude, to. David. Drew Forbes, lineman, tackle from Southeast Missouri State, and Donnie Lewis, Jr., Tulane.
What round did the Southeast Missouri State player go in?
Sixth.
Okay. That feels right.
Hey, you know what, Garm? It's not about, like, these mock drafts and stuff.
No, I know.
Well, this is completely unrelated, but the Bengals signed a guy from Last Chance U.
Yeah, I did see that.
Wide receiver. I don't know.
He can only run defensive tackle.
I don't remember him from. I think he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, the
wide receiver.
Season two? Because
or two.
I forget the name.
Oh, that was the Oakland Raiders that did the defensive tackle from him. Okay.
Yeah. So, who was your favorite pick?
Probably Mac Wilson.
All right.
It's a good value. I don't know why he fell.
People's stuff I listen to, they just really didn't like him, and I don't know why. Like, they
said he was on social media too much. He had a bad, like, six. He didn't have any momentum. Like
his athletic
team never got very good.
That's the downside.
But he's like, I think it was more like with his testing and stuff.
Yeah, I hate that. Like,
but he was a really productive linebacker at Alabama. So
right, and they're like, you take that productive linebacker from Alabama. Like, I don't know if I like all his tweets.
Yeah,
or also measurables.
Gritty Williams, I think, could be
scores only 8.7.
Gritty Williams, I think, could be a first round player in the second round. So hopefully,
I like that pick for you guys. I was upset myself that you guys got him. So
overall, I think we improved going into it. I think we needed cornerback depth and also linebackers. So
there you go.
It would have been hard for me to be too upset with unless they like.
What do you give it on a grade?
What's my scale? I'll give it a solid, like, not factoring in Odell, like a B.
Yeah, you can't factor that in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
B plus.
Garmin.
4.5 check marks.
Out of 6?
Out of 11.
Oh, that's out of 11.
That's a low check mark.
Yeah, what?
The check mark scale is very varied. There's a lot of variables that go into the check mark scale.
I'm going 4.6 stars out of 7.7.
Okay. That's like a 66%.
Yeah.
Really? How many thumbs? I'm going one again.
One thumb. Okay. That's solid.
That's all I care about is Philly's thumbs. I need a thumb up.
Okay. Oh, do you want to take a break? Or are you right to
let's
Titans?
Go Titans.
Yeah.
All right.
Titans.
We can talk about the best dreadlock players.
Oh, yeah. From 2009?
Was that a dreadlock specific?
It's the only list I can find.
Okay, wait. We got to see how many we... Is it like top 10?
Yeah. All right,
from 2009.
Do you want? I'll like do a couple of them. We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Number 10, Mike McKenzie. Do you guys remember Mike McKenzie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he played for the Saints and the Packers. I think. All right.
Corner.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. They had two of those corners. I thought looked exactly the same.
Number 9, Lawrence Maroney.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
I remember him.
He had like one good year.
Yeah. Number 8, Marshawn Lynch.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good dreadlock player.
Fair enough. Not a safety.
Never heard of number 7, so we're skipping number 7.
What's his number 7?
Langston Moore.
Ah, Langston.
He was good. Langsty.
I'll go to 5. Number 6, Devin Hester.
That's good. That's a good one.
Good dreads.
A Madden cheat code.
Yeah. And I'll end on a good one for you, Jordan. Number 5,
Josh Cribbs.
Josh Cribbs.
Yeah.
Josh
all-time Brownie.
All-time.
You guys have a ring? Do you guys have a Ring of Honor?
We do. He's not in it.
He should be.
Yeah. We'll do the top four later. Billy, go ahead and talk about the Titans
draft.
Who was their first round pick?
First pick was Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle from Mississippi State.
Now, he was the one with the checkered past, correct?
Was he the one that instead of seeing highlights, we saw a grainy cell phone
video
of him beating up a woman?
And I was
in high school.
I was pissed about that. Like,
I don't mean to belittle what they.
Now, ESPN wants to be a moral authority.
They always, but they always do that, though.
Yeah. I forget who it was. Trey Wingo. He was like, no, we don't want to downgrade what the guy, kind of the player he is, whatever. I was like,
but look at this video.
I didn't understand it. I understand. Yeah, he messed up. It was back in high school. He's moved, you know, past it. He knows he's made a mistake. He's now he's going to have to relive
it. But I'm just like, can I see? I know what he did.
Yeah.
But can I see like one?
Just one highlight.
College highlight.
Yeah. So of course, I had to go. I had to go on Twitter. They showed highlights, and honestly, highlights look
ESPN making you do great. Work.
And like, I loved the pick. I mean, I think while I was watching it, I wanted Sweat, or was it?
Yeah, Montez
Sweat.
Montez.
But after reading it, like stuff the coaches are saying, I think that they have enough like.
Character issues?
No, just
adding that guy.
I think they really believe in Harold Landry, that he's going to have a big season this year, that they didn't need an edge rusher first pick, so they took
Don't
a chance.
Don't you guys have a solid D tackle right now, too?
Jarrell Casey.
So you have...
But he's like the only,
two guys up the middle that are pretty good.
But he's, I mean, obviously, Simmons ain't going to play this year. If he does, it's not going to be late because ACL.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's the thing about him. He's not going to play, but... People are saying if he was healthy, he was easily top 10, maybe top 5, you know, talent-wise.
Not exactly.
Yeah.
What pick did you have again?
19.
Okay.
So
he's all right. Who's number 2?
I like the pick. It just all depends how he comes back with injuries and whatever. But, yeah.
A.J. Brown.
Yeah. Second pick was A.J. Brown.
Is that Hollywood Brown?
No.
No. This I was actually going to ask you because I thought that was a huge pick for you guys.
A.J. Brown... I love it.
Yeah, I like that pick.
That's a really good pick.
Yeah.
Okay, who did he play for?
Ole Miss.
He was the other guy besides
Yeah. Right. So,
you could make the argument that he was better.
I was watching the pick, and I was like, I was like, they got to go receiver. So, I was like, they showed the top receivers. Of course, it was like A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, and they had like a couple other whatever. I was like, not Metcalf. I was like, so I was wanting Brown. When Brown came up, I was like, I jumped up and kind of did a little fist pump, you know, to myself.
It's nice when it aligns and you get the person you want.
Yeah.
Like, it's super rare.
So
it is rare.
And,
very rare.
And through the rookie mini camp, like, they kind of like said what, Ohio State's quarterback that went to
Dwayne Haskins.
That he's turning heads. Like, he's obviously the standout of all the rookies that we drafted. Mm-hmm. Like, so he's been making good plays. They like his route running. Like, he's good, clean, crisp, no routes, whatever. Then a couple, like, you know, acrobatic one-handed catches and everything. So I really like that pick. Third pick, I really didn't know the guy. It's Nate Davis from North Carolina, Charlotte. University or whatever. So
doesn't matter.
It's a small school. He's a guard, and after reading why we picked him is that he played everywhere. He played center, he played guard, and he played tackle. So
versatility.
I think that's the reason why we probably went after him is because we can plug him anywhere if we have to, but he's really good at guard, and we needed another guard position, and they feel that he is going to be a first-day starter. And this reading about him, like, he wants to rip your head off every play. So, like, he's a...
Super aggressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of like that. And
I love that description of lineman.
Yeah, he wants to be the man across.
I always like, he's a dog.
He's like Richie Incognito.
Yeah.
He wants to bully you in the lunchroom.
So... After like kind of watching some highlights of him and reading up on him, I thought that was a pretty solid pick. I like it, and I kind of want to see how it comes up.
Steal your lunch money.
I think you'll change.
Fourth round pick. I thought this is probably, I would say maybe our steal of the draft is Armani Hooker.
Safety. Amani.
for a safety from Iowa. So he was the Big Ten defensive back of the year, and everybody projected him going at least, you know, as high as the second round to the third round. We got him in the fourth, so
yeah.
He kind of sort of, you know, gives us more depth in our safeties, and he's probably going to be a good special team player. That's probably what we'll plug him in at right away, but I like that pick. Then we had DeAndre Walker. He is an edge from Georgia.
It's a cool name for an edge rusher.
Yeah. So
I feel like Georgia has a lot of DeAndre Walkers.
Yeah. So
like the whole team is DeAndre Walker.
Every year,
DeAndre Walker. He fell, but he was also recovering from a groin injury, I guess. So maybe that's the reason why he fell so far. But, I mean, of course, like you said, the media, but... The media was always like, "Oh, it's a great, you know, it's a great value pick or whatever." So it's like you really don't know. Maybe there's something else with him, but he's just another guy we can plug in for the edge, off the edge, you know, and just give some people some
rush passer room.
Yep, and just throw in there. Then our last pick was linebacker David Long Jr. from West Virginia.
David Long Jr.?
Yeah.
Like his name is David Long Jr.?
Jr., okay. Yeah.
The third.
So, he...
Esquire.
He won some award in the Big 12. Like, he had, I don't know, he had like a...
It's all politics.
Yeah. But I think we're thinking that he might be the replacement of Wesley Woodyard. So, I mean, I like it. A lot of people say he's too small to be middle linebacker or whatever. Or,
linebackers are getting smaller though.
So, but I mean, overall, like
lighter.
All our picks, I really, you know, I like him. Jeffrey Simmons is
who's your best pick. Who's your favorite pick?
I'll go AJ Brown. Was probably my favorite one.
And least favorite?
Don't have one.
Oh,
whoa!
So on that note,
a lot of ego.
You start with the grading. What do you give that?
Me, I'll go a thumb and a half.
Oh, I like that you didn't just go full two.
Two thumbs up.
I gotta be reasonable.
I respect that.
A thumb and a half up. So is that like you bend your other one in half?
Or yeah, you know, to say half
double
your
jointed
thumb
knuckle. Yeah, it's like in the middle off. Of a thumb war.
Yep.
You like you crimp it in half. Garmin, what do you give their draft?
With the amount of picks they had and what they got and they needed, I'm gonna go 7.5 check marks.
That's out of 11, right?
That's out of 11, yes.
Check mark scale.
Jordan?
That's absurd, first of all.
Is it?
It's a really high check mark grade.
You guys don't know what goes into the check mark grading scale.
My objective...
11 variables.
Yeah, my objective grade would be D+, maybe?
Oh.
I mean...
You're down on them.
All of them are just reaches. Maybe good value with AJ Brown. That's about it. I mean, you still got Mariota.
I'm going to go...
Ryan Tannehill's back up.
67 stars out of 85.
All right.
Ooh.
So I think I've given like the same grade with different percentages.
Change the scale a little bit.
Like, so many stars. How many stars?
67 stars out of 85. So that's pretty good. I think it's obvious the Bengals had the best draft out of all the teams that we talk about.
I would say probably.
I may or maybe not. But we'll never know. At least our teams have new players that we can get excited about.
Yep.
Because the draft's always fun when you're never winning Super Bowls. Right?
Right. So out of our three teams, who's the favorite player?
You mean like the whole talent pool?
Yep.
See, I don't think the Bengals have many like sexy picks. Like,
you mean like all a, like if we're combining all three of these draft classes?
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough.
Drew Sample.
Yeah. I'd say probably AJ or Jeffrey.
Yeah, AJ Brown is probably a pretty good pick.
I think the Titans have some sexy picks.
Yeah.
How about those sexy Titans? They should just rename it.
They're like the least sexy team, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
least sexy?
You're the Browns. Your team name is the Browns.
Dude.
It's a color.
We're the world's team, dude.
That concludes our draft coverage. this year's draft, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully it makes our teams better. We're going to completely do a 180 and talk about something different after the break. We're going to talk about Game of Thrones. Is it a good show or not? Yeah, we'll be
Nothing like coming in from a long day outside, plopping down in your favorite spot, sipping an ice cold beverage, and letting the chill of the air conditioning make your summer day complete. Or you could have your legs sticking to a vinyl covered chair placed 6 inches from a fan blowing full speed at your beet red face as you wish you would have called Reasoner Energy for that Train air conditioner. Summer's heat comes fast and hot. Call Reasoner Energy 419-678-4858 and don't sweat it.
For years now, you've heard that Fort Recovery Insurance Agency has something for everyone. And if you need insurance, they do. When you choose Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we take you inside our fort to find the best plan to protect your home, your business, your vehicles, and your family from the risks you'll face in today's world. When it's time for a new insurance plan, don't depend on just anyone. Depend on Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us at 888-375-4181.
The 8th Annual Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament is coming up on June 7th, 8th, and 9th at Fort Site Park. The tournament is open to all former Fort Recovery graduates, spouses, fiancés, and Fort Recovery School District residents. Your team should consist of former classmates graduating in the same year, or as needed, you can combine classes to form a team, and each team needs to have a minimum of 5 ladies and 5 guys per team. Be sure to reserve your team spot before Monday, June 3rd, by contacting Cole Wendell at 419-852-7141 or Ryan Evers at 419-733-6448. The entry fee is $100 per team. Watch their Facebook page, 2019 Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, for updates and game schedules. Food and refreshments will be available at the tournament, so grab the whole family and head down to Fort Site Park for a weekend full of fun and socializing with old and new friends. The 2019 Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Be sure to sign your team up before June 3rd. Get down there. It's always a lot of fun.
Be sure to check out the butcher's specials at Wayne Street Market through May 9th. It's grilling season, then they have just what you need. 81% lean quarter-pound ground chuck patties, 4 to a package for only $2.99. Or if you're in the mood for a great steak, they have prime and New York strip steaks for just $11.99 a pound, perfectly trimmed and ready to grab and go. And they have Eckrich honey ham for only $3.99 a pound, sliced to order for when you just need to grab a quick sandwich. So stop by Wayne Street Market now through Thursday, May 9th for these and other great deals throughout the store. Prime New York strip steaks for $11.99 a pound, quarter pound ground chuck patties, 4 to a package for $2.99, and Eckrich honey ham for $3.99 a pound. Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
Thanks, guys. You guys are supposed to do that with me.
You had a nini on your own.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
Woo!
I really killed the intro to that. It airs Sunday nights on HBO at 6 p.m. and
9 p.m.
9 p.m. West Coast time. Sorry.
For all our West Coast listeners.
This show has been killing me, so I'm just missing out on what's going on. We left it after, the second episode last time?
Yep. Everyone was like saying goodbye.
Yep.
Bran was for sure going to die.
Yep. And we were building up to the battle against the White Walkers. But first, we need to go over the top 4 dreaded cornerbacks from 2009.
Dreaded players.
Yeah, it's not cornerbacks. Yeah,
exactly, because all the great corners are, DBs are for dreads.
Number 4, Bob Sanders. Great safety.
Good. Career gone too soon.
All right. Number 3, Al Harris. Many people remember him from the legendary pick 6 against Matt Hasselbeck, where he said, we're going to get the ball and we're going
to
win. So Al Harris. Number 2, Philly's favorite player.
CJ2K.
Chris Johnson. Probably the thug. Is he the thuggiest looking NFL player of all time?
Vontez.
Is Vontez looking more thug than Chris Johnson?
Chris Johnson looked like Lil Wayne.
He looked like Lil Wayne for that's forever.
Alvin Kamara looks pretty good.
Ooh, Alvin Kamara's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good draft time one to have. Yeah. And then number one, Larry Fitzgerald, who I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
The top dreaded players of 2009.
And how many of those were safeties?
One or two.
Gotcha. Just wanted to make sure.
So back to Game of Thrones segue. But yeah, we were at Winterfell waiting the thing we've been waiting for
for 10 years.
The White Walkers.
Yeah.
And they were finally going to battle, and we were going to see them, and we were going to learn about them, and we were going to see what they were coming for, and we were going to...
Everything for 10 years that's been building up, all these
not theories. Winter is coming.
And yeah, the show's name is, like, its tagline is Winter's Coming.
Was
and
we back gotta, in episode one.
We got to learn about
season one.
What all the dead bodies being hung up were about, you know,
the
all that stuff.
The show begins north of the Wall when they find the White Walkers.
Yep.
They're hinted at.
The opening shot is a White Walker.
Yep. So they battle, and...
it's over.
Yeah, in one episode. Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about the battle.
Okay. No, it's over.
We gotta talk about the battle.
So, okay. The beginning, the episode at the very beginning was amazing. Okay. When, like, the tents, like, the waiting, like, everyone just kind of their faces, like, getting ready to go.
Staring in the darkness of nothing.
Yeah. And you can hear, like, the noises in the distance because, like, it's black, right?
Yeah.
Big complaint of the episode was it was too dark to see. But
I didn't see that.
I didn't have a problem either.
Yeah, our
problem
TV was... Either. Yeah.
Get better TVs.
Yeah. Yeah, you poor people get a better TV.
Okay, 1080p and 4K has been around for a long time. Like, don't watch it on... I don't know.
I watched it on my iPad. I thought it was fine.
Yeah. I watched it on my phone later, and it was fine.
Yeah, the beginning part was great. I thought the anticipation.
I want to know, where did the Red Woman just come out?
Yeah, she just all of a sudden out of comes out of the woods.
Here is my thought. There's all those towns outside of Winterfell.
Yeah.
Winterfell is not the only community in the north.
Yes, it is.
She could not stay there because Davos would kill her.
Yep.
She probably came, waited, since she can see the future, probably waited till the battle got ready to start, and then showed up.
Because they're like north, and she was coming from
when
the east
she was needed.
She came right from where... the White Walkers are coming from.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, that's 20 minutes earlier. So, maybe she just passed them, like, hey, excuse me.
Poor little
Cersei, like, excuse me.
So, she just comes out of nowhere. And,
I didn't have a problem with that.
Whatever.
That is your complaint with that episode?
No, I said I didn't have a problem.
Me?
I was just wondering, like, just out of nowhere. Like, I thought it was a White Walker just walking up there, and I was like, whoa. Yeah.
I wanted it to be, like...
Uncle Benjamin.
But then she does the cool thing where she's like, raise your swords, and then she lights them all on fire. I thought that was really cool.
Really
lasted for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, and then everyone's like, wow. And then they ride off like to go charge at him. And there's this great shot where Daenerys and Jon Snow have their dragons up on the high peak,
mm-hmm.
and you can see the light of the fire going towards this.
Yeah.
Then
all the
wall,
flames
and they just
dissipate.
Hit a brick wall, and like they just get stopped, and then the light just slowly goes out, and everyone's like, "Oh God, we're gonna get."
I really thought that was fantastic. I thought that was a great way to like express the danger because of how dangerous the Dothraki are.
Yep. Complete overwhelming.
I mean, a bad strategy.
Okay, everyone says it's a bad strategy. That is what the Dothraki do in every single battle. They fight in open field. Every you rewatch that show, they mention it. That's all the Dothraki do.
But
there's no strategy with them.
They could.
They overwhelm you in open field battle.
There's no end where they all don't. Like, that doesn't happen. They could have put up a better fight, like we maybe thought, but to have...
They didn't lose that many people anyway, according to who's left in their army.
Garmin threw a good point out of this last episode we just watched. I'll say it later, but yeah.
They still had even though it was an overwhelming defeat, they still had a ton of people left over, so whatever.
Because it's more of a plot device.
They just had a bunch of people hidden in the background, I guess.
And why have... Okay, anyway.
So, the lights go out. Oh man, we're all gonna die.
Still a pretty cool scene.
Ghost comes back with Jorah and like three other Dothraki.
We don't see Ghost come back.
We never see Ghost.
We don't. We saw him go with
him. Which is one of my gripes.
Yeah.
Ghost goes with him, but you don't see him until...
So you see Jorah come back and like three Dothraki.
Dothraki.
So, wow, they got killed. So they ride in. Like, Jorah's face is like super scared.
Yeah,
like,
hey guys, it's going to be a long
night. It's going to be bad. We're all going to die.
Hey, it's going to be bad, guys.
So then, like, really cool, also another scene where Grey Worm's, like, getting ready for the charge from the White Walkers and the Whites or whatever they're called, the
cold
zombies.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just thought it was cool. I mean, you can, like, close up on his face, put his mask on. You can hear him, like, making noises in the distance.
Running
through
the snow.
And then, like, they just come in like,
a wave of dead bodies.
Like, it is like a wave of people. And I thought it was fantastic, awesome. So far, I'm giving it, you know, 60 stars out of 70 so far. And then, you know, they're fighting. And really, that just goes on for, what, 20 more minutes when they just fight?
They start to get overwhelmed, and that's when the dragons come in.
Oh, yeah. And Daenerys and
which I still have a gripe, yeah,
runs.
That it's a that battle was a misuse of the dragons.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why Garmin's...
Well, visually awesome, though, when, like, you just see the dragon, like...
Oh, there's some of the best cinematography in the entire series, yeah, in that episode. Just
blowing up a ton of people and whatever. And then... the Night King, like, brings a winter storm with him, right?
Yep. Literally brings winter.
A polar vortex comes down on Winterfell, and then they can't see anything.
No.
So they're trying to, like, attack him with these dragons, but they can't see anything.
Right. So, right. I mean, that's, I guess that can be the cop-out.
Actually, well, it wasn't the Night King, it was the White Walkers, because they came out of the tree lines, and then Daenerys was going to go after him. They saw that she was coming, then all of a sudden the clouds just moved in.
Yeah.
So she couldn't.
My thinking on the dragons and how to use them is they wanted... You can't just, like, not pay attention to the ice dragon. Like, you can't just forget about him. So you can't go, like, focusing on the White Walkers, and then all of a sudden right behind you comes ice dragon and you lose another dragon. So those dragons, the strategy was, this isn't nerdy at all.
Neil, are you lost?
The strategy was, we have to wait to see the ice dragon. Once we see the ice dragon,
right,
we both get up, I'm going to kill him, and then you can go.
Yeah, 100%. But that was the initial plan. But the plan was botched when Daenerys saw the Dothraki get destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the plan's already botched at that point.
Yeah,
and the dragons are...
How did she misuse them?
Because she left early.
So
they were supposed to wait. Their job was, because the Night King had the dragon, their job was to wait for the Night King. And
so you wanted them to stick to that plan.
I didn't have a problem
with
that.
The whole plan was to Bran Morgan, and then the Night King was going to go after Bran. Then when he came in, they were going to go after the Night King.
Because my thing was, once Daenerys botched the plan of waiting for the Night King, then if you're already up there, you might as well do a couple rows up and down and take out all the zombies.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't do it long.
That wasn't my biggest issue.
All I'm saying is,
I was going to say she did do that.
I get it, but all I'm just saying, I had no issues with that until I saw last night's episode.
So, did the ice dragon come out then?
No.
They had a Bran spotted him.
Yeah.
No, John sees it.
What happened after...
Bran spotted him, but he didn't tell anybody.
After the winter storm, what happened after that?
Oh, remember, so they
get overwhelmed. They
retreat,
they light
and
the
they light the trench, and the trench lights, and then, honestly, like, I know it may be stupid, but... So all those White Walkers are just, all the cold ones or the zombies or whatever, just waiting.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite shots from the entire series is that shot of the Night King on the dragon, and he just puts his hand out, and all those zombies start, like, laying their bodies across the fire so people can get over it.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a really sweet shot.
Yeah. So then they start climbing the walls. And they get into the city, yeah, right?
Just like an intense, like suffocating
World War Z type thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So then they get in and fighting.
Arya has some good scenes.
Yeah, yes. Arya's doing some cool stuff. Did you guys like the, like, 10-minute stealthy scene in the library with Arya? Or
I did.
That,
I did.
We needed.
I don't have an opinion.
It was very Jurassic Park to me.
Yeah, we needed a break from chaos.
You just can't have just, like, you know, fighting.
Yeah,
that was, and that's a way, like, to cut little... your budget in, like, half.
That's true. Yeah. So Arya is fighting with the Hound and the one guy with the eye patch,
Beric Dondarrion.
Beric dies there, right?
Then you realize what his purpose of the, and, you know, from
the reason why he's been brought back so many times was to save him.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of foreshadowing, like the Red Woman stared at Arya like, you know, you got special.
Well, and that she's going to kill Beans with green eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Brown eyes and blue eyes. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
And then, you kind of, she, like...
And then...
that's when she ran off, and...
Beric also foreshadowed by, like, look at her. Look at what she's doing, kind of. It wasn't totally foreshadowing.
Yeah.
But the Hound was scared.
She also said that same thing to Arya, like, in season 3.
Yeah, that was
So that goes on. And what am I missing? So they're... The crypt's coming. The Night King kind of lands, right? Or how does he get on the ground?
So they fight. Drogon or Daenerys.
He gets thrown off his dragon. The Night King.
So they double team. The Night King.
Breathe fire on him. He can't be burned.
Yeah. Which you knew was going to happen.
Yeah.
That's like he wasn't going to die.
They didn't really explain why or whatever. But I guess he walked through fire before.
Yeah.
So yeah, he just kind of, then we saw him smile. That was kind of funny.
I did like that.
So now people, he's on the ground, and then
Jon Snow's chasing him.
Did any of you guys have a problem with the fact that he did not fight Jon 1-on-1? Because I did not. I would have liked to have seen it.
How did we not get that?
I would have loved to have seen that. Don't get me wrong.
I would have liked to have seen the Night King fight somebody.
I have no problem with that because at the time I was like, we'll get more of this.
And I get it. Like, he has a million people at his disposal, but it'd still be cool to see him pull his sword.
Like, even imagine
he's smart.
Like Jon and the Night King fighting, having an intense battle. Even Jon about ready to lose, and Arya coming up and killing him would have been like the much best better way.
Right. I agree. I give that a lot better score than what happened. But anyway, so Jon's chasing after him. Night King turns around and goes, haha, I have the power to raise the dead. He raises his arms. All the people around him come to life, and Jon can't get to him and is engaged in a 1 to 1,000 battle. Somehow, he doesn't even get nicked.
Drogon comes.
Yeah, Drogon does save him.
Daenerys.
And about dies.
Right there and lets a million people get on her. Then she flies away. And she's on the ground.
She's on the ground.
Drogon bails because he's got all the
Jorah.
Jorah comes out of the nowhere and starts defending her.
Do we have anything else to say about Lyanna Mormont?
Oh yeah, that was cool. She killed it.
That was really cool.
That was like probably the most surprising death. I think people thought there was gonna be more, but like the one that like
hit
you the most.
Yeah,
that was good. Well, because it's a little girl being crushed to death by a giant.
Yeah,
and you can hear like.
So they had a 20 minute score because when.
Dude, I love that.
He raised the dead in their crypts in the basement with all the women and children. They started coming alive.
Yeah.
And they killed people down there.
Tyrion and Sansa had a good moment. They both got the dragon glass.
And then you see like the White Walkers walking in to the Weirwood tree.
They were walking like OGs.
I like. And so many people are like, why were they just walking? I'm like, what were they? Do they ever run?
Yeah, no,
they're called the White Walkers.
They're methodical. Like, so they clearly like were like we won.
Rough Riders Anthem was playing and they were walking in. And Bran's still just sitting there by the tree. Like, and Theon defends him.
Bad Boys for... I'm sorry.
That was like... Bad I played Boys that music life. In my head.
Yeah.
When that... I even said that at the time.
I thought that was kind of a great way for Theon to go out, though.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was. I wish he would have got like one swing. He just kind of...
That was...
He killed a ton of people, though.
He did. I think that's like on a White Walker, but he just got killed right away.
Yeah, because he tried to charge the Night King.
Yeah.
I think he was like...
Throw some spears.
I think he was validated that Bran was like, you're a good man.
Yeah.
Nah.
It was fine. I wasn't mad about Theon.
No, me neither. I liked it.
I thought that was fine. And then, the Night King goes up, stares at Bran for a little bit, goes.
Yeah, he's just in super slow mo.
Yeah,
and that was half of it. It was just in
slow-mo. Goes to pull his sword out, and in the background you see Arya jump out of nowhere, and
just with that like 45-inch vert, dude.
45-inch vert. Nobody noticed her. She just.
Well, I have no problem with that. People were complaining about.
I kind of complained about that. Like
they've been setting that
show where she comes. Like, where does she come from?
I like the ending.
There's no.
I like the whole.
We don't see Arya from the moment she talks to Melisandre.
That's the whole point. You can't show every move of her. Then he just gives away the ending.
They've also been building up in season 7, and like when she's gotten back, that she can kind of go from place to place without really being noticed.
Yeah.
And I get the surprise effect.
She gets held up in the air by her throat. She does the drop. The dagger.
I thought she like was gonna. Die.
I thought so too. Yeah.
And then she drops it from her left hand to her right hand and stabs him in
Guts
the gut with the Valyrian steel dagger that was given to her by Bran, who Littlefinger also owned, who somebody else also owned. And he turned to ice and shattered into like a million pieces.
And so like everybody else.
Yeah. So like,
causing everyone else in his army to die.
Right. Like a hive mind kind of thing.
So that was like basically the whole episode, right?
Did it end right after that?
Melisandre goes out and falls in the
Her purpose is served. I like legit from beginning to end, I was like on the edge of my seat. I completely enjoyed it and I really, really liked it. Like that, there were so many cool shots. The score was amazing when the Night King got into Winterfell. My only beef is that we lost, I don't care what anyone says, the main antagonist of the entire series is dead in the third episode with three episodes left.
In basically one episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really had nothing. Like, literally, this is the first time they've ever stood up and fought.
They had one other battle with them, that was it. And it was basically
they bought it.
When did they battle?
Hard home.
Oh, well, no, that was...
Wasn't a battle they were running away
from. That was, yeah, they were running...
But they encountered
them. They had no intention. This is the first time they've intended and planned to fight them.
To fight them. True.
Hard home, because I just rewatched that Friday night. They, like, were like, we need to leave, like, right now.
John went there just to get... And they showed up, and they're like, oh.
So does any... I mean, am I the only one that is really irritated? I don't care that I don't care that it was Arya. It could be Arya every time.
I predicted on this show that he would die that episode.
You did, and I was like, that would be terrible writing.
I didn't want it to happen. I just thought because of the time crunch, then they're probably going to have to get rid of that out of the way, and then they're going to have to go to something else.
I didn't have a problem with that episode at all.
Yeah. I thought it was...
The way he died, I thought fine. It was cool.
I thought...
The way he died, he was going to... That's the only way it could have been. I'm just... Yeah.
What a crappy weakness, first of all. But
but it was established. We kind of knew that that's how it would be.
I wish it would have lasted longer and been more crucial and been... I wanted to see more.
These last six episodes, you've been wanting them to last like 2.5 hours, 3 hours.
They should be.
They should be.
Anyway.
Well, they should have like...
My biggest gripe was like Bran.
Yeah, what does he do? Why does he do it?
See, apparently he's just watching in ravens.
Well,
whenever he wargs in, the Night King knows
where he's at.
So he's just drawing the Night King in. Then the plan was that Daenerys and Jon Snow just sit there until they see him fly in, then they go after him.
That was my understanding. Was that?
Yeah, I understood it that he just went away as location.
There's theories out there that Bran was doing more than just watching the Night King. Like he's going back in the past and trying to.
Can't you warg into somebody?
Other stuff.
Yeah, it would have been cooler that way, I think.
I don't know.
Well, he hasn't, this is getting super nerdy, but since he's become the Three-Eyed Raven, he literally has never warged into anything else since, so maybe when he became that, he couldn't do it with other
animals.
He just
sits there and says one line.
He warged into Hordor.
But he wasn't the Three-Eyed Raven.
Yes, he was, because the Three-Eyed Raven died.
That's true. You're right. Fair enough.
But that's when he figured out he screwed up Hodor.
Well, he wasn't warged into Hodor at that point. He was in the past.
Don't even start.
Okay. Well, okay, so either way, I don't know. I just...
It was...
it was still a good episode.
It was, a good episode.
Oh, it was a really good episode.
But that's also not, I think, what we wanted... Maybe. I don't know.
Some loose ends.
Yeah. So, I think it would have been cooler if the bad guys would have stayed in it longer, because I thought they were the main...
But the thing is that if they did not kill the White Walkers, then those guys were all dead.
Yeah.
There's no way of them getting out of there.
Yeah, and I was hoping somehow that they
It
was going the way I thought, and that I was the only way. I just assumed they would retreat from Winterfell.
Yeah, and run on a dragon or something.
Or have Yara show up and get on their ships and then go south because they can't go into water.
There's no water around.
They could run. I don't know. They could run to the...
They had to run for like miles, like hundreds of miles.
But that's not that.
Really brings up a solid point.
Yeah, but distance, distance is not...
Everyone's not Gendry.
If they try to run away from the White Walkers are just going to keep on running after them. They're not just going to stay there and be like, oh, we won, we got Winterfell.
Yeah.
Retreat. No.
So that's how episode one ended. Any more comments on that one?
Okay, so I have a list of complaints that you guys maybe can answer for me. Is one, like, okay, right off
the bat. This is just episode three?
No, well, this is about basically the Night King dying in the third episode, who is the main villain of the show. Like, our main villain dying so early. Why would they set up everything for that to be the case? Like, literally, Melisandre, when they find out... Like, remember when Stannis comes and takes out all the wildlings north of the wall?
Yeah.
She literally, like, he's marching to take the throne. And then Davos gets that letter... from the Raven, and she throws it in the fire, and she's like, I have the quote. She's like, this war of the five kings means nothing. The true war lies north. Death marches on the wall. Like, we have to leave. Like, she literally says that basically everything the show's been is nothing compared to what's coming.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I thought, too.
And then the other thing I have a big issue with is, I mean, maybe there's still one episode to find out, but every time the White Walkers do, like, what are the symbols? What were all those symbols?
We'll never know.
Well, part of the symbols were the structure of the first, what do they call them?
Men.
First men.
The children of the forest.
Like, children of the forest, there you go. When they initially created
the first man.
Yeah, the Night King, that they were in like a Stonehenge symbol of like the round, the little star thing. So if you go back and watch that episode, like in season 4, that's the symbol. That's the
at the fist of the first moon.
Yeah.
So they just do that. Like so that's
like, hey, this is where we're from.
I guess so.
It's kind of like his banner that he's flying around.
That's his sigil.
Okay, I mean, I guess, man. I'm just saying. I just need someone to explain to me some of this stuff.
We'll call up D&D.
And I mean, the other thing is like the wall. It's like these things are such a threat that they literally like 8,000 years ago built this 700-foot tall wall, 300 miles to keep out the greatest threat the world has ever known. And then when they finally get across,
they're dead in one episode.
Yes.
Yep, stupid. I agree.
It's not.
I mean, that's just the way it played out, man. That's history.
I mean,
I don't know what you want.
Because it's bad the show writing is called Game of Thrones, so it's always going to be about.
But it wasn't. They've been.
The show is
called Game of Thrones. Philly has a point.
They threw you. You're taking a freaking.
He just wanted to like build up all that to let you down.
I know the show is called Game of Thrones, but literally, you rewatch the entire series.
I know they talk about
the throne is like not the main thing at all. It's the throne.
I would disagree. There's way more content around the throne than the White Walkers.
I know that, but that's the slow burn is that everyone is focused on this one thing when they don't really realize what the true threat
is. You are White Walker fans and you're pissed that they died in one episode.
I'm just telling you what the show is giving me and how it bothered me.
Yeah. You got any more comments?
No, sorry.
I enjoyed it. It was meant for the Night King.
It's not that I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was a really great episode.
That's what it is.
You just wanted there to be a deeper meaning?
No, I don't know. Maybe it's because of what I thought.
He'd put up a bit better fight?
Or not even that, but I thought like the Night King wouldn't be at the end. Like,
I thought the Night King was going to be like a more major player than he was.
Yeah.
So I was kind of disappointed when he wasn't, but that's basically as far as it goes.
I mean, he was a major player. I mean, you know, the first three episodes were pretty much all that.
And I guess we don't have to know anything about him. We just know he's bad.
Yeah. And I mean,
like a bad guy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I kind of disagree with that a little bit.
You kind of know.
Where even if I fall into the line where maybe the White Walkers are secondary, but he is one of the main storylines of this whole thing, and you're telling me like all this mythology build up and we don't really know anything about him?
Yeah. Well, hey, let's let all our listeners digest all
this. Yeah, no, we do. There's still time.
Maybe we'll find out.
We're going to take a small break. We'll do a brief cover of the episode 4 because it was kind of a tying the knot episode, and then we'll talk about the one last night. But we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jerry Kalp of Kalp Pharmacy, a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy. Kalp Pharmacy carries a full line of CPAP and BiPAP machines for sleep apnea. Our respiratory therapist will work with you to ensure proper fitting in the mask for ultimate results and comfort. Obstructive sleep apnea is a common condition in which the upper airway repeatedly collapses during sleep. If untreated, OSA may cause stress on the heart, increasing blood pressure, heart attack, or chance of stroke. Call Kalp Pharmacy in Fort Recovery at 800-686-2314 to learn more. Kalp Pharmacy Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. First, the company who introduced suspension to the commercial mowing industry has done it again. Introducing the Ferris Soft Ride Stand-On Z2 Mower. With this patent-pending adjustable operator platform and suspension technology, you can now experience the amazing smooth ride and speed that Ferris is famous for. Step up to a new level of comfort and productivity with the Ferris Soft Ride Stand-On Z2. Ferris Experience Suspension.
Graduation is coming up soon. Your Fort Recovery seniors will be graduating on May 19th. The ceremony will take place at the Fort Recovery High School gym and will begin at 2 o'clock p.m. There will also Crosby graduation mass is held that same morning at St. Peter at 10 o'clock a.m. and 4:30 the night before at Mary Hope of Christians. Please come send off the seniors and wish them luck as they start a new chapter of their new lives.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95. And you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
Hey, we're on.
Welcome back to the practice squad. We are talking about Game of Thrones. We just finished our exciting recap of the Battle of Winterfell complaints.
And I don't mean to complain super hardcore because it was a fun episode. It
sounds like you're complaining.
Yeah. Episode 4.
This is a filler.
Who wants to do a quick recap of that?
There's nothing much. It's
a bunch of stories.
They win the battle. They celebrate. They eat. Then, you know, they.
Well, there's a couple big things that happen.
Gendry's like, Gendry gets to become officially a Baratheon. Yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
What about Bran and Jaime?
There's a Starbucks cup.
They killed that right
there. The biggest thing was the Starbucks cup sitting on the table.
John saying bye to the direwolf.
Yep.
Oh, I got a beef with that.
That was horrible.
I got a huge beef with that because don't insult.
There's enough pups for the eldest of the stock children.
Okay. So here's my thing, and don't insult our intelligence as viewers and feed us a line of BS where
CGI is too expensive.
We don't have enough in the budget to have Jon Snow at least pat Ghost on the head. And I'm like, from what I saw last episode, how about take 5 minutes less of Drogon burning an entire city and just give me a good boy from Jon?
Yeah, I was taking that. Because, like, they were connected, basically.
Well, and I told you, I rewatched when Jon's dead.
They're underneath the table. He's like his
defending right, him. He's there by his side the entire time.
It's really, how does that not get through somebody? Like, hey, we should make this more important.
Ghost hasn't honestly been a that big a part for a while.
He hasn't.
Yeah.
And that's stupid, too.
And that's the show's fault.
Yeah. Stupid show. Is it a good show?
It's a good show.
I'm so angry.
Why?
I don't know. I have no reason to be.
But you didn't get pissed until we talked about Ghost. Is that the breaking?
It meant a lot to me, okay?
That's
I think a lot of people were.
I think Ghost meant more to the fans than the
writer,
John.
Than what the writer, yeah.
No, he meant a lot to John. There's no way he didn't mean a lot to John.
Well, I can tell you,
John's left him a long time.
John cares a lot about. Ghost cares a lot about John.
John was pee whipped, and he just wanted Daenerys, and he didn't want to even.
Worry about his
maybe
his trained he's like, dire wolf.
That's my old life. I have a new life with this hot queen.
Well, now maybe he feels more like a Targaryen and he doesn't feel like a Stark.
Yeah, he's dumb. All right, so.
Well, I guess some things have, like, because, like I said, Gendry's a Baratheon now.
Yep.
And he got what? The Baratheon home?
Yeah,
instead, had a cool name. And then
Helm's, not Helm's Deep.
And then Arya, like, turned
Storm's
down.
End.
Storm's End, which is cool.
Yeah.
Arya turned down his proposal.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe she comes back and she's like, listen, I'm done.
Let's get married.
Here's a beef. How do they not show us Sansa and Arya's reaction to Jon being a Targaryen?
That was dumb too. You can tell him it's your choice.
Blah, and then it's like, and then they cut.
And then Daenerys is like, don't ever tell the secret.
Huge.
And then Jon's like, okay. And then he tells the secret.
He's my fan.
I don't think, did he agree to not tell?
No. But a lot of people were complaining about that it wasn't clear if he did or not. But
he didn't say anything.
He just kept saying, you're my queen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're my queen. I don't want it. You're my queen. I don't want it.
And that's kind of, they started sowing the seeds that episode of Dany being jealous of Jon. Like, that's where she's like, people won't love me here.
Yep. They love you if
like
they find
the,
out.
The scene in the hall where everyone's drinking and having fun, and Tormund's like, what kind of crazy person would ride a dragon?
Yeah.
And Daenerys is like, I've been doing it for like 5 seasons.
Yeah. So. And then at the end, after much deliberation, they decide to go to King's Landing, so they just like morph there.
Right.
And they're there.
Fast travel.
Yeah, they hit the X button on the controller.
On the controller.
And they showed up at King's Landing.
Don't get David Stern on that.
And that bothers me. I don't know why.
That's the least thing. They, just because they've already established it, I accept it at this
like,
point.
Apparently, Dragonstone to King's Landing, it's like they're there. So they're there, and then they have. Tyrion walks up to the wall. I'm mad now. Someone else.
No, okay. So that's like, because if we're just doing bullet points, they're all like, Rhaegal got hurt in the battle.
Oh, yeah.
From the dragon, like one of her dragons. So there's only two dragons left, but one of his wings got tore up. So she's like, want to make sure he can fly on his own. And then he just gets destroyed by these
like tricks too.
Giant. They call him a scorpion, which is basically a huge spear. It really bummed me out. Like it's because it was really surprising.
Garmin
it's like, look at how majestic the dragon. Blood everywhere, face plants in the ocean, never should be seen again.
Till the Night King brings him out.
And apparently, like, Euron is like Vasily Zaitsev from Enemy at the Gates. Just a
perfect shot.
Just a sniper.
Yeah, perfect shot. So that makes her mad.
And so, yeah, they go to the wall because they want Cersei to
surrender
because they're like, listen, we are going to torch this place and you're going to lose. So surrender.
Yeah.
And when all that stuff hit the fan, Daenerys' right-hand girl got captured. And in the negotiation process, Cersei's like, I don't care. Cut her head off. And Dany wasn't happy about it.
Yeah. And the episode ends with like her brooding and walking away. And you're like, uh-oh, she's about to go crazy.
Yep.
And she does.
That brings us to last night's episode entitled The Bells.
Is that what it's called?
Yep, yes. The Bells. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be called Fire and Blood. No, it's called The Bells. So the beginning is a lot of advice, a lot of...
Varys dying.
Oh, yeah.
One of the main characters of the show tries to poison Daenerys.
Treason. Yeah. Tries to poison him, and then...
Because he knows that Jon is the true king and a better person because Dany's kind
of... So it seemed like he just sent a whole bunch of ravens, basically telling everybody, hey,
what's going on?
Yeah.
Because that'll play in, because people are going to know now, like everybody knows now.
It is definitely going to play in, because they're going to be like, one... After the events,
people will start.
Do we want this person as our queen?
And that's why she's going to kill Jon Snow in this last episode.
So, they send out the ravens. Then Tyrion is the one that squeals and says,
he's trying to do the right thing.
Hey, Daenerys, you have a traitor. She's like, Jon Snow? And no. But then she kind of goes on to explain that it was really Jon Snow, too, because
the second he told, never should have
told she's got anybody. A point.
Yeah.
But they decide to kill him. And that was a cool scene because the dragon was behind her in the darkness. You couldn't see him. And he burned Varys. Alive. And that was pretty cool. So he was dead. Then they're, just planning the battle, and she's still not listening to their advice. Tyrion's like, please save the city.
Right, because Cersei is bringing all the all the main population into the inner walls, kind of. And she's telling the people that they'll be safe in there, but in reality, she's using them as a shield, knowing that Daenerys wouldn't kill all these innocent civilians. And Tyrion's basically like, listen, if you're going to go in there attack, the reason why it's called the bells is as soon as you hear the bells, that means that
they surrender.
It's a surrender.
Yeah.
So we've won. And the one thing that I actually really dug about this episode was right off the bat, like, you know, maybe you thought it was going to be like the Battle of Winterfell where it was a real back and forth kind of thing, but it was a total slaughter.
Yeah.
Like, they cleaned house.
She comes straight down out of the sky, burns all the weapons, burns everything, comes up behind. The Golden Company burns all of them. I mean,
they win in like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
And then they get inside the city, and all the Lannister forces just drop their weapons.
Yeah.
And then they ring the bells. And there's a tense minute where
I love that scene.
Daenerys,
it seemed like 5 minutes.
Waiting on like top of a castle or whatever, a building, waiting for the bells. And she's kind of like, there are a lot of close ups on her face that I thought were pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, they showed. Like, they do Cersei looking out, and then Dany looking out. Yeah. I go in the back and forth. I thought it was really kind of neat.
And finally, what felt like a year, the bells rang.
Tyrion was
so everyone
kind of
takes a deep breath. You think, okay, the battle's won. It's all good.
With minimal loss of life.
Yeah. And then
that being key.
They just show Daenerys' face, and she...
She gets all...
Well, so here's the thing. Did you watch all the writer stuff at the end? They talked about she kept looking at the Red Keep.
Yeah.
And when she kept looking at the Red Keep, she kept, like, she's thinking of all the things that her family, like, this is what the writers said, everything that her family has lost, Like, they built all of that. Everything that we've done is lost, and she just, it's a reminder of everything. So she, she's like,
to destroy it all.
Yeah, so she gets on Drogon and, like, just
kills everybody.
Basically, yeah, torches the entire city. Like, she goes full on mad Targaryen. Because I really like that saying that Varys said to Jon, because they always, like, they've mentioned that several times in the series, that whenever Targaryens are born, the gods flip a coin if it's going to be, you know,
a mad one.
Mad, yeah. Or a good person. And for the longest time, and this is one of my complaints, one of my only complaints really with the episode, is for the longest time, like, Dany's been very, I guess you can make the argument that she's been advised properly, and at this point she feels betrayed. Her advisors are either
dead,
betrayed or dead, and she kind of turns heel, like we talked about earlier, pretty quick. Yeah. Like, there wasn't a lot of leading up to, outside of the past couple episodes, of her starting to go
bonkers.
Yeah. And she finally flips her switch, which I was like, I kind of wish that I would have been okay with that more if they had given us more time of little nuances of her doing that previously.
I'm doing like little stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. So she turned, she basically is now the
mad queen,
the enemy of the show, the antagonist.
Yeah, well, she's
turned into the super villain.
There's that scene. The other thing the writers talked about was, it's kind of up to John, really. Like, all of this leads up to that decision when he does not reciprocate his feelings that she has for him. And so when she pulls away, she goes, then let it be fear.
Yeah.
She's like, if I can't rule these people with mercy and love, then I will rule with fear, and they will fear me instead of love me. But I will be the ruler, one way or the other.
So she tortures the whole place. Cersei is advised that basically, she was in denial the whole time, but you gotta leave because we're gonna die.
Yeah.
So her and the Mountain and Qyburn start taking off. Meanwhile, in the lobby, Arya and the Hound are almost to inside, trying to get to Cersei the whole time. And the Hound has a moment with Arya where he's like, wow, kind of says,
he's basically,
you don't,
like,
want to die,
yeah,
here.
One,
you come with me, you're dead.
Yeah. I think if had not everything been collapsing and falling apart,
yeah,
he probably maybe would have let her just, like, not said anything, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like, listen, this is a one-way trip. And a lot of people are upset because Cersei was the top of her list, but I like that moment where he's like, listen, do you want to be me? Like, do you want your entire life to be driven off revenge? Where, like, even if you do this, is that really going to make you feel better, kind of thing?
Mm.
And I like to think that a little bit of, like, Arya's always been different. Like, she doesn't want to be a lady. Like, she's like a ninja assassin. She's totally awesome. Like, her character is sweet.
Yeah.
Like, she's not a typical, like, lady. But, like, when Ned Stark, I would like to think that he's, like, he allowed her to become that. Like, gave her the encouragement she needed to be that. But I don't think he would want her to be what she would have become,
mm-hmm,
if the Hound kind of hadn't made that decision right there.
Yeah, and so that was good. They had a moment. She says thank you, called him by his actual name,
which, yep, was cool.
And then she runs out, and the Hound goes up the stairs to meet his brother,
Clegane Bowl 2019.
Yeah, in the epic fight between the Cleganes,
probably the best.
That was one of the best, like, payoffs.
Payoffs
of, like, the entire show. Yeah, like, yeah, that building up to that. And especially how cool it looked. Like, the stairs going to nowhere. Like, it was blocked up top. And, like,
yeah,
just the shot of, like, the city burning around them.
Yeah.
Was so cool.
And, yeah,
Qyburn, like, just getting killed in the first
place. Like, in, like, half a second.
His head just, like, was a watermelon.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Brutally.
Did you think the hound's head was going to explode there for a little bit?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and then he kind of had that moment where he's like, where they drops him, where he stabs him through the eye.
Yeah.
And where he had that moment where he was like, well, the only way I can do this is if I go with him. And he tackles him through the wall.
That's kind of what I thought. I thought, like, if these two fight each other to the death, like, they're both going to go, yeah, but the Hound will be the one to do it.
Yeah.
And the other thing at the end of the episode with the writers, which I thought was kind of cool, was that he died by fire.
Yeah.
And his biggest fear in life
was
fire, but he hated his brother so much that he was willing to go out that way.
I don't know how much of the fire he felt.
And I thought,
I'm sure he didn't feel that much.
But it's like, you knew how.
But that was such a cool shot.
Like, how terrified he is by fire.
That made a lot of sense. So that was good. Cersei just kind of, like,
did you talk about Jaime and Euron?
No. Oh, that's still coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. So Euron,
we don't have to talk much about it. It's
fight. Yeah. Dumb. Euron
conveniently
dumb.
Shows up on the same place that Jaime's
Jaime's trying to rescue Cersei because all of a sudden he's in love with her again.
Euron's, I have an issue with. I don't know if everybody else does.
Euron's dying, and the only thing he cares about is like, I'm the man that killed the Night King.
I'm the man that killed Jaime Lannister.
Yeah, he's killed Jaime.
Horrible character. Terrible. I hate him. Pointless. Dumb. I have never liked him. I don't know why we're supposed to care about him.
Well, let's talk about Jaime and Cersei.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they have a cute little...
stupid. Also, Jaime decides that he loves her again, so he goes to save her.
He didn't decide that he loves her again.
I think he's always loved her.
Yeah.
I think his entire story arc has been kind of getting away from that because Cersei is a toxic person.
Yeah.
And by default, he kind of was a toxic person because of her.
But do we ever really change Garmin?
Apparently not. Maybe that's the thing.
He's never really gotten away besides leaving last year to go up to
he told
Bran of Tarth. She's a nasty person, so am I.
He talked about all the horrible things that he's done for her. So, but like, he's come so far from that.
But
what's the motivating factor to him diving back into that?
In some way or another, there was a little side story that Jaime and Cersei had to see each other one last time.
I get that,
before.
And they have a kid.
Yeah. So he got to her.
Did anyone else think that he might stab her?
I
was hoping that would have completed his character arc of completely separating himself.
Would have took that over than how they died in the episode. But
that would have been great if he would have said something, and then the building could have crashed on him.
Right.
I don't care. But yeah, they didn't. They just like held each other and they cried. And
they're trying to escape because there was a boat set by them by Tyrion.
Tyrion set them up to live happily ever after.
To go somewhere else out of Westeros and be happy with each other.
So the Red Keep collapsed on top.
Yeah, it got blocked.
Did anyone have an issue with them being killed by the
construction?
Bad foundation?
See, I didn't have it.
I want one of my villains to have a satisfying death, in my opinion. Like, I would have...
Like, what would be satisfying?
Her getting eaten by a dragon would have been...
I mean, how many people can get eaten by dragons?
Not enough. Like, if they got captured...
Jorah doesn't eat that many people.
That's true, he doesn't eat, he just burns them.
Yeah.
The thing is...
He's eaten a couple people. I think.
Yeah, that one.
She should have died by...
He did. He ripped the dude in half. Yeah.
I would have took her getting stabbed.
He ate a kid, too. Ate a kid.
That would have been better.
Early on.
Yeah, it was too easy that just the building crashed, and then... I don't know. It was not satisfying to me. I don't even...
I'm just saying, like, Joffrey died from poisoning, and...
Yeah, you could see the pain that he was in, whatever.
At least Joffrey
could see the pain. She just stared in the eyes of her brother.
You didn't see the pain for the last 30 seconds?
Just stared in the eyes of her brother.
No, Cersei actually...
Being happy. Yeah, but...
I'll take that as an argument.
That was a happy ending for them.
She finally broke. Yeah. Like, she's
she was so oblivious to like her losing. Like, she didn't.
And to have her begging for her life at the end, I guess, is kind of satisfying because she's a horrible person.
Yeah. So then, Daenerys just destroys the whole city. Cersei and Jaime are dead. And basically the rest of the episode is Arya wakes up and she's alive.
Well, she has to basically...
Trying to get out of the city.
She's at the center of the city and has to get out.
She has to get out of the city.
And there's a lot of kind of cool tracking shots following her get out, which I thought was kind of neat.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up, which I really liked, and I think the writers may have mentioned this afterwards, but once Dany goes full-on bonkers... They never cut back to her. Mm-hmm. So you see everything, all the destruction and mayhem from the people who are experiencing it.
You think their next episodes are going to show like her view of like what she's...
No, I just think that's a really interesting way to do it because you really see the carnage from the ground level.
Some people had a problem with that.
Really?
Yeah.
And like,
because you don't see her reaction. Like, what's her reaction while doing
that? That's kind of what I like. I like that we did.
She probably had that mean mug on her face, just like before she took off.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with it. That's just what some people were saying.
So she, gets out kind of, but...
So yeah, but so here's the thing. So she finally manages basically to get to the end of the wall, and there's like a really cool shot. She finds that horse.
Yeah.
And did any of you guys see any of the random like theories about that horse?
So like a pale nare or something?
Okay,
like,
I have that...
Death rides a pale horse?
I have that quote, because one, people thought it was...
Bran warging into
it. It was Bran and the horse, or someone saying it was Ned... Not Ned being the horse, but like I don't know. A sign from Ned to get out of here, whatever. But the one is, the quote was, I looked and behold an ashen pale horse, and who sat upon it was death. And so some people are like, Arya's death. Yeah. I'm like, that's pretty deep. Yeah, and that's very possible.
As little as they put into this season, they didn't think that far ahead.
Yeah. That's how the episode ends, her running out of.
There's no way they're looking back at like old prophecies and all
that. Some people thought a white horse, you know, symbolized her like pureness, and then it was blood spattered, so like now, you know, she's
damaged. And the other thing I did not notice is that little girl she was helping
was holding a white horse.
Holding a white horse that had blood on it. Which I never would have noticed if someone hadn't framed a shot.
They probably won't explain what it is anyway.
That's true. No.
David,
don't even watch the last episode.
They're just gonna like, oh, whatever.
You know what's amazing is when I was sitting with him the whole time, he was super enjoying it. Like he's like, "This is the best episode by far."
I thought it was, and then I thought about it again all night.
I still like
it. It was a good episode from the beginning of her attacking the city, like to when Jamie does his stupid thing was really good.
Right.
Then once Jamie died and I was like, that was stupid.
So my thing was like, right, my complaint was they didn't spend enough time with Danny like going crazy.
Yeah.
Or like slowly descent into madness, which I knew what that was going to happen.
Her turning heel and destroying everything I thought was great.
Right.
I didn't see it coming. I saw it coming, but I didn't think that, I don't know.
Well, no, that's the thing. Well, like,
there was slight little glimpses. Like, she thinks she's betrayed and, like, all that.
So you knew it. Well, you knew
I got no complaints about that, but I still have a ton of complaints about how they're doing things, and it's just, I don't explain it. They just, whatever.
Cam. Sorry. What's one? Does anybody have anything else for episode 5?
No, I think it's good.
No.
She gets out probably, and we'll see what happens.
Well, the one thing I am looking forward to is when they showed the like clips from the last episode, was we had talked about if there's no White Walkers, then what's the payoff for her vision of when she's in the House of the Undying and she walks through the throne room and it's covered in snow? And Jordan was like, well, maybe it's ash. And that at the end of the episode. You remember when she was walking?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where she's at. I think she's in the throne room.
I think she's at the top of the Red Keep.
And I do too. And I think
I think it's in the throne room, maybe behind
her. I think it's behind her.
But she's like walking down the steps. So, like, basically where Cersei had to walk.
So,
up
for me, I personally, like, that's a payoff that I'm glad we got, because that was foreshadowing. And originally, I'm like, they're foreshadowing something we're never going to see.
Yeah.
So, at least there's some
payoff. I just thought there'd be even more, like, after everything got done, that people would go back to their camps or whatever and be like, there's still so much that has to happen.
Yeah.
And there's 80 minutes.
Well, like, you say so much that has to happen as far as, like,
I feel like they
do
have,
you think we need reactions? We need the North, like, finding out, and then the North reacting, and then a conclusion to the whole thing.
Power, like, who is the, like, Daenerys is going to, like, have speeches, probably, like, talk to the people, how's she going to rule, where's Drogon, is Drogon going to live?
He better.
Like, there's so much that has to happen. Yeah. There's no way it ends done. Like, it has to end open-ended, right?
I mean, open-ended in what way?
Like, there won't be, like, John won.
I never at any point thought that the show would end that way.
Like, it's just gonna be, it's over.
It's gonna end like how it starts. Like, someone's gonna wanna overtake the throne. That's how it's gonna be.
I never thought the show was gonna end with John or Daenerys sitting on the Iron Throne. Credits.
Just because,
like, there's no definitive.
So say Daenerys keeps the throne, whatever, but there's gonna be some glimpse that someone's gonna try to take it, or they're gonna try to kill her or take over, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, what I mentioned to you guys before, I think what's gonna happen is that, this is my prediction, and I mentioned, like I said, I already mentioned this. I think that it's gonna go full circle, and Tyrion is gonna become the Queenslayer and see what she's become and save everyone from her.
Someone's gonna try
and kill her, because
she has a huge dragon.
No one can take on her army, so someone's gotta kill her like
Grey Worms.
Like that.
That was my question, is what's one prediction for the last episode?
So I think Dany goes down, and then there's like I said, when we were at Brick Street, I don't think there's any ruler. Like, it's just chaos. And since the main kingdom has basically been completely destroyed, there's no ruler. There's no overseer. Mm-hmm. In the North, I don't know what happens to the other kingdoms, but I think the North will revert to what it was before the Targaryens took over Westeros, and the North will become its own kingdom, and Jon will become king of the North again. I think that's what's going to happen.
Billy, what do you think is going to happen?
I really don't know.
That's the truest answer.
That has, you know, some good points to it that could happen, you know.
Jordan.
Or it could completely go, Daenerys takes, you know, what she thinks is her kingdom, but it's all destroyed. And
maybe she just lets the North go. Yeah. Maybe she stays alive. And Tyrion's like, I'm going to go marry Sansa. I'm down for that.
Is it possible that she's not evil?
Yes.
Like, that she, like, just did that, and I was like, I had to start over.
Yeah. I had to get that off my chest.
Now she's
I didn't
like,
hear the bell. Like,
you think it was just that time of the month where she was
going to rule like a crazy person now? Yeah. Do you think she's going to rule like a crazy person, or do you think she's going to try and be like she was before now?
I think she's going to want to, but she's chosen a path that she can't change now.
But people,
I don't think she's crazy.
Keep on going behind her back and trying to do something, then she's just
like,
going
to
go
think
crazy.
She comes
again.
Out and like tries to be nice to the people, or you think she's like, fear me, I'm Daenerys Targaryen?
I'm going
to
say she's going to stick with the rule, probably fear me. Yeah.
Instead of being like, I'm your queen, you have your choice to kneel to me, and if you kneel to me, we will have peace.
Because I still think that's the way she wants to rule.
Yeah.
She just had to get to that point.
Yeah.
We'll find
by it. Any means necessary.
Jordan, what do you think is going to happen?
Bran's gonna warg into Drogon.
Oh my god. Yes.
And explode his brain.
Eat an eater. Or Arya.
Think about that.
Arya is gonna kill Grey Worm and use his face and then kill.
Ooh.
Yep.
Those are two good points.
Yep.
See, I feel
those
like
my two pretty
Arya's not gone.
No, for sure not.
She's gonna do something, which yes, I can see her.
Yeah.
I feel like there has to be a higher point to Bran, so maybe he wargs into Drogon.
There's gotta be some point to Bran.
Maybe not.
I think Jon will be just about to kill Daenerys, and then they both see their breath.
For one minute, I thought Jon.
And then it gets cold, and then it starts snowing.
And what if it ends?
And the Night King comes back.
Oh my god.
And then, no.
For a while, I thought Jon and Grey Worm were going to fight during the battle because when the Lannister army dropped the swords or whatever, then Grey Worm went attacking, then he told his guys to stop.
And those two were staring at each other.
Grey Worm stared at Jon, then it was kind of like a little tension.
And then
moment.
A Lannister guy came in, so I got like a broke out. Like a broken up.
But I thought for one minute that they were going to go, you know, at each other.
That was a solid 45 of Game of Thrones talk. We hope everybody liked that. That was very good. Episode recap. You don't even need to watch the episode. No.
Exactly.
We basically told you everything that happened.
Yeah.
Jordan, we should take a break probably and then come back up to update our survivor pool.
Ooh, yeah.
Are we going to do a draft tonight yet?
Yeah, you can.
Yes. And we'll be doing our draft yet. Man. Draft 47.0.
Sports,
whatever it is.
Are you looking for great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes to reserve your lanes for your kid's birthday party or other get-together. Just call them at 375-4274 now and get your party booked. And be sure to stop out on Friday at lunch for their great pizza and wing buffet. Great food and lots of fun at Miracle Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274.
We appreciate all the great people who have stopped in at the Fort Recovery Dairy. Be sure to check our sign and Facebook page for our weekly specials. We invite you to try our pretzel bites and pretzel sticks. Whether you're stopping in for a meal or a quick treat, you can count on us for quality at a great price. Thanks again for helping to make our first couple of weeks at the Fort Recovery Dairy so successful. We'll continue to keep giving you great food and frozen treats at great prices. We're open every day from 11 to 8:30 p.m.
The 8th Annual Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament is coming up on June 7th, 8th, and 9th at Fort Site Park. The tournament is open to all former Fort Recovery graduates, spouses, fiancés, and Fort Recovery School District residents. Your team should consist of former classmates graduating in the same year, or as needed, you can combine classes to form a team, and each team needs to have a minimum of 5 ladies and 5 guys per team. Be sure to reserve your team spot before Monday, June 3rd, by contacting Cole Wendell at 419-852-7141 or Ryan Evers at 419-733-6448. The entry fee is $100 per team. Watch their Facebook page, 2019 Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, for updates and game schedules. food and refreshments will be available at the tournament, so grab the whole family and head down to Forsyth Park for a weekend full of fun and socializing with old and new friends. The 2019 Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Be sure to sign your team up before June 3rd. Get down there. It's always a lot of fun.
We are back. It is the practice squad. We lost our producer, so we got Neil behind the wheels of steel over there. We want to update our survivor pool, what's been posted on our Twitter account for some time.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go over Jordan's team.
Did he update it on the Twitter poll?
He did. Yep. It is updated now on our Twitter page. So 5 points to remaining survivors at the end of the show, 15 points to the last remaining on the Iron Throne. So right now, Jordan has Sansa, who I think has a good chance, right?
Who will survive? Surviving?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah, big time, yeah.
I think she has a chance to be queen.
It's possible because John doesn't want it.
Low key. He lost Jaime. Jaime died by construction.
What if, like, this is just random, not to cut you off, but, like, what if, like, John just, like, goes north? He goes north of the wall with Tormund.
That'd be sweet.
And Sansa becomes queen of the north.
Yeah. That could happen.
I could buy that.
Samwell Tarly, he has. I think Sam survives the show.
Definitely.
Brienne of Tarth, I think she survives the show. Unless she comes down and, like, wants revenge for Jaime going away.
She just starts bashing her sword up against the building.
And Gendry. I think Gendry survives.
There's just not enough time for some of these characters to die.
I think Jordan has 4 survivors, so he's got 20 points already. Garmin, your team, you lost some main players.
Yep.
You lost Varys.
Yep.
And Theon.
Mm-hmm.
But you got the king. The true heir to the Iron Throne.
I do. We got Jon Snow.
You have Jon Snow. You have Davos, who I think is a safe bet.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe. And Tormund, who apparently is already safe.
He's just hanging out.
He's north of the wall. He's good.
So you have, you know, a possible king worth 15, and I think you have 2 survivors. So you're close to 25 points, depending on what happens in the last episode. Philly, you have 4 out of 5 still
living. I think Philly's going to be...
The Night King is dead, though.
I took a shot on Night King because when I first thought, I thought the Night King was just going to clear out.
Yep. But Bran is still alive, I think survives the show. I don't know if he'll be king. I don't think that's possible.
No. I just think all of his are staying alive.
You have Arya, who I think will survive, but I don't think will be queen. Bronn, who knows? He's going to show up randomly with his crossbow.
He'll be lord of, whatchamacallit?
Highgarden.
Highgarden, yeah. That might count for some.
Podrick Payne. He's
tripod, man.
Yeah, tripod.
He's still at Winterfell doing nothing, right?
And I'm
hanging out. Yeah,
I have
safe.
I had a bad episode. I lost Cersei, I lost the Hound, and I lost the Red Woman a couple weeks ago. I'm banking on the...
You could lose the last 2 people, too.
Yeah.
Yours is the scariest. Like, yours is, like, some of the best main characters that have a really good shot of dying, I think.
Yeah.
Daenerys will probably find out what Tyrion did, kill him, then, like...
Yep, he's dead.
Hell, someone said that... Well, or Tyrion might do what
Kingslayer
did, and kill her.
He's the last Lannister, though, so he can't. Maybe, I mean, they can.
Well, we'll find out.
The loss of the Great House was
next Sunday at 9 p.m. So keep following along on our Twitter account, at the Practice Squad, at FR Practice Squad, excuse me, and keep watching along with us as you watch and continue to be frustrated with me. Right? Maybe I should just be more positive about it. It's a good show.
We got one.
We knew it was going to be hard for them to fit it all in 6 episodes, and I think we're seeing that.
They got an hour 20 to clean it up.
Yeah. So, all right, that does it for us tonight on the Practice Squad. I don't know when we'll be back, maybe in a couple weeks to recap the show and to talk about, because we do talk about football, not for the last hour, but we'll probably recap kind of what's going on in summer mini camps and who's looking really good throwing the ball and like...
best shape of their life.
Yeah, who's in the best shape of their life and who's going to make the best plays up for their team. So we'll be back in a couple weeks for the Practice Squad. It's David Schmidt, Jordan Stogler, Craig Garmin, and Troy Metzger, and Neil feeling in tonight. Have a good week, everybody.